Montana's June 2nd primary is just around the corner.
And with competitive contests to win party nominations for nearly every statewide and federal office, there's a lot at stake in this election.
We're going to spend the next hour breaking down the races, hearing from candidates, and adding context.
We'll go in the order races appear on your ballot, so feel free to follow along.
I'm Corin Cates Carney with Montana Public Radio.
And I'm Nikki Willett with Yellowstone Public Radio. This is our special primary preview. This primary is unusual because it will largely be conducted by mail-in ballot. County election administrators have embraced the so-called all-mail-in primary election because of the novel coronavirus pandemic. YPR News' State House reporter Kevin Trevelin asked various county officials how they're handling the abrupt shift. Kevin, who made the call to go to an all-mail primary?
Well, Nikki, Governor Steve Bullock used emergency powers in late March, allowing counties to decide whether they want to conduct an all-mail primary. Since then, every single one of Montana's 56 counties chose to go that route. County officials say it was an obvious choice to limit the spread of COVID-19. Here's Brett Rutherford, Yellowstone County's elections administrator.
So it was kind of a no-brainer for Yellowstone County. The fact that you would have to recruit and staff large polling places with 200 and some judges during a pandemic, it's just not optimal to put people in one spot together like that. So it was an easy decision for us.
How will this all-mail election actually work?
Well, ballots must be returned to county elections offices by 8 p.m. on election day, June 2nd. Return postage is included with each ballot, so it won't cost voters anything to mail those envelopes. Almost 600,000 ballots were mailed May 8th, so most active voters should have theirs by now. They can check the Secretary of State's My Voter page to make sure their address is current in case they haven't received anything. Envelopes include three ballots, one each for the Green, Republican, and Democratic parties, but voters can only fill out and return one. They also need to remember to sign the outside of their envelopes before returning them, otherwise those votes won't be counted.
Is this truly all mail?
Most of the counties I reached out to offer locations for voters to drop ballots off as well. County offices will be open for Election Day drop-offs too, though officials are urging voters to come in earlier to avoid crowding. Also, some counties are operating satellite voting offices on Native American reservations several days per week for voter registration and ballot drop-off. Bighorn County Elections Administrator Dulcie Bear Don't Walk says the satellite offices help rural residents avoid lengthy drives to the county elections office.
Our county is extremely large in landmass and very spread out communities. So for us, the satellite office allows people to be able to come in and cast their ballot ahead of time, especially if they're from, you know, over an hour out.
How are counties preparing for this all-mail election?
It's been a challenge for some officials. Bighorn County doesn't have high absentee votership, so they needed to hire three election judges and increase staff hours to stuff all the extra ballot envelopes in time. For many other counties, the all-mail primary isn't so large a shift from normal operations. For example, 94% of Gallatin County residents already voted absentee during the 2018 primary, so their infrastructure is already in place for the upcoming contest. The bigger difficulty has been staying safe amid COVID-19. Bighorn County ordered, quote, infection protection kits for staff.
What's an infection protection kit?
It's basically an industrial-sized package of wipes, masks, and gloves. Also, Missoula County Elections Administrator Bradley Siemens says they've actually relocated their office in response to the coronavirus.
In our new building, we were fortunate enough to have areas where we could set up two staff to a room and help spread them out. We staggered our times when people came in, and we helped make sure that, you know, no communal potlucks, no big gatherings like that, like we normally like to do for our workers. It was really about making sure that they had an individual space where they could work.
Kevin, what kind of financial impacts are you hearing about moving this election to the mailbox?
Well, most counties say they actually save money voting by mail. Brett Rutherford with Yellowstone County says traditional polling place elections cost about $1.50 per voter, whereas all-mail elections typically cost about $1 per voter. Rutherford says that's because counties don't have to operate polling places or hire as many election judges with all-mail elections. The state is also reimbursing counties on ballot return postage.
What about voter turnout?
There's evidence that mail voting increases it. Most county officials I spoke with expect just that with the upcoming primary. Here's Rutherford again.
It's hard to say, but I wouldn't be surprised if at this primary is probably in the top, you know, 4 or 5 as far as turnout all time.
Based on what you're hearing, can we expect more mail voting in the future?
Possibly. Wendy Underhill, an elections expert with the National Conference of State Legislatures, told me that voting by mail is really taking off in certain states. Washington, Colorado, and Utah have all begun voting exclusively by mail in the last decade. Underhill says the upcoming primary could be a sort of case study for Montana, which also has high mail votership.
So I think we could even argue that by doing it for the primary, Montana will have some up close and personal experience from which to judge whether they want to continue using mail voting into the future.
Last week, California became the first state to announce an all-mail general election in November due to COVID-19. We'll see whether Montana makes a similar move.
Interesting. Anything else that Montana voters should know?
County officials recommend that any ballot returned by mail be sent by May 26th to ensure it arrives in time for counting by June 2nd.
So May 26th. Kevin, thanks so much for bringing this information to us.
No problem.
In the race for U.S. Senate, political observers expect a likely November contest between Republican Steve Daines and Democrat Steve Bullock to draw tens of millions of dollars in outside spending along with national attention. But first, the Senate incumbent and sitting governor each face long-shot challengers in the June 2nd primary.
Daines from Bozeman is seeking a second term in the U.S. Senate after first being elected in 2014. Daines previously served one term in the U.S. House of Representatives and worked in the private sector for Procter & Gamble and Right Now Technologies. Daines says he's been able to deliver results in Congress for Montana, and he's focused on solutions to rebuild the national economy and protect and create jobs in Montana in the wake of the impacts from the novel coronavirus pandemic. Daines faces two primary challengers on the Republican ballot, Daniel Larson from Stevensville and John Driscoll from Helena. But Daines' campaign is looking past them and focusing on the general election.
My friend, Montana Republican Senator Steve Daines, has been one of my father's strongest allies.
Ads on Instagram and Facebook shown around the country feature heavyweight GOP figures like Donald Trump Jr., Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, and others echoing fundraising pleas for Daines. Daines frames his candidacy within a national spotlight.
Hi, this is Steve Daines, and I know these are difficult times, but Democrats are working overtime to defeat me here in Montana. And with the help from President Obama and Chuck Schumer, my liberal opponent is outraising my campaign by millions.
Daines is referring to current Democratic Governor Steve Bullock, who entered the U.S. Senate race after dropping his bid for president. Bullock is facing one primary opponent, John Muse from Loma. Muse was the only Democrat to stay in the primary race when Bullock announced his entrance into it. Bullock's campaign, like Daines's, is looking toward November. The two-term governor and former state attorney general released a campaign kickoff video cycling through accomplishments of Bullock's time as a statewide executive.
Montana's unemployment rate, the lowest in over a decade.
The outdoor economy has been booming.
Businesses reach record high exports. Montana High School.
That video ends with the tagline, "Make Washington work like Montana." Bullock says the country needs steady leadership to get the economy back on track to recover from the coronavirus pandemic. Bullock's campaign is also emphasizing the national implications of Montana's U.S. Senate race, reaching out to potential donors from across the country. Most recently, that's included social media posts pitting his campaign against national GOP figures.
I'm Steve Bullock, and I'm running for Senate. The road to a Senate majority runs through Montana, so I'm counting on you to help us both flip the Senate and kick out Mitch McConnell.
Eric Riley is an associate political science professor at Montana State University and the director of the HELPS Lab. He says both Daines and Bullock look like they'll become their party's nominees, so it makes sense they're using this time to get a head start on campaigning for the general election instead of fending off primary opponents. Riley says as the political parties fight for control in Congress, the general election race could draw more than the $45 million in outside spending seen in Montana's last U.S. Senate election in 2018.
And so at this point, it does look like it's sort of a toss-up in terms of who will have the majority of seats in the U.S. Senate after the general election. But there's a long way to go.
Over the last 6 weeks, Bullock's fundraising totals are almost double Daines's, $2.5 million to $1.3 million, respectively. While Daines raised more overall this cycle for his re-election campaign, Bullock has outraised Daines in 2020 after jumping into the race in early March. Most of the money fueling the Daines and Bullock campaigns is not coming from within Montana. While Daines and Bullock run as presumptive nominees, primary opponents argue they're best suited to represent the state in the U.S. Senate. Daniel Larson, who has never held public office, is running on the Republican ballot. The hardware store owner from Stevensville says he's offering a choice away from corporate politics.
I'm doing this to try to show, so even if I don't win, I think it'll lay down a base path as far as where we're at. But I think in order for this nation to change, our congressional delegation to get more honest and less influenced by the money and politics, I do think that we need to create a new path that allows people to win based off of substance without having to raise the millions of dollars from, you know, these different interest groups and political action committees.
Larson says the Keystone XL pipeline does not make economic sense for Montana. He supports universal basic income and says Senator Daines has gone too far to support the executive branch and President Donald Trump. John Driscoll is also running for the U.S. Senate as a Republican. Driscoll, from Helena, has previously run for the U.S. House as a Democrat and served as a state lawmaker and member of the Montana Public Service Commission. Here's how he describes his first priority if elected.
My first priority is to look into why the POW MIA operations by U.S. forces have been getting canceled in Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam. That's the first priority because it's so important to Montanans. Nobody else seems to be looking at it.
Driscoll says people in Congress need to get along with each other better, and if elected, he'd take steps toward addressing climate change. John Muse is campaigning on the Democratic ballot. Muse is a former teacher and naval officer and current engineer from Loma. He says he has experience that Bullock doesn't in national security issues and engineering in the energy sector.
Do you want somebody, and I say this with respect, do you want somebody who has only been an attorney and a career politician? Or do you want somebody who, like one out of every 10 Montanans, is a military veteran?
Muse says he supports an accelerated transition to a clean energy economy, the legalization of marijuana, and he says he's a more progressive Democrat than Bullock. There are two Green Party candidates listed on primary ballots. Wendy Fredrickson, a former audit reviewer for the State Health Department from Helena, has not responded to a Montana Public Radio questionnaire about her candidacy. Dennis Danicky, a retired Missoula College professor of sustainable construction from Lolo, says to not vote for him or his Green Party opponent. Danicky says his opponent was recruited to siphon votes from Democrats, and he was recruited to siphon votes from Fredrickson.
And one more note on that Democratic race, Mike Knowles will appear on ballots, but he has dropped out of the race. Corin, that's interesting what you said about Green Party candidates. What's going on there?
The Green Party squeaked onto ballots just a few days before candidate filing deadline in March, bankrolled by the Montana Republican Party. A spokesperson for the Republican Party told the Associated Press back in March that the GOP was supporting access for minor political parties.
Why would Republicans want the Green Party on the ballot?
So the political theory holds that Green Party candidates can draw votes away from Democrats, much like Libertarian candidates can draw votes from Republicans. And in the past, we've seen the Montana Democrats try to prevent the Green Party from getting on the ballot, and Republicans have tried to help the Green Party.
That's interesting, because just this week I received a mailer from a political action committee called Go Green Montana. It called Dennis Danicky a fake Green Party candidate on one side, and on the other side, it said to vote for Wendy Fredrickson.
Right. The Montana Green Party posted on its Facebook page earlier this month saying the Go Green Montana PAC has nothing to do with their party. I called the treasurer listed for the Go Green Montana PAC Friday, but didn't get a call back from them. Federal finance reports for the PAC won't be due until well after the primary. Though Mike Dennison, political reporter for MTN News, is reporting, Go Green Montana is using a communications firm that has ties to Montana Republicans. the Green Party hasn't yet released endorsements as of May 22nd.
A layer of intrigue in this race, then.
Yes.
Moving over to the other federal seat up for grabs this year, U.S. House.
With no incumbent seeking re-election, Montana's lone seat in the U.S. House of Representatives is once again up for grabs. Republicans are trying to prevent a Democrat from flipping the seat blue for the first time in more than 20 years. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kevin Trevlin reports on 9 candidates running for the position.
2 Democrats, 6 Republicans, and a Green Party candidate are trying to succeed current Republican Congressman Greg Gianforte, who is running for governor. On the Democratic ballot, former State Representative Kathleen Williams faces current State Representative Tom Winter. Williams wants health care reform that preserves Affordable Care Act protections like Medicaid expansion and coverage for pre-existing conditions. She also wants to lower the age to buy into Medicare from 65 to 55. Williams began her 3-term state house tenure on the heels of the Great Recession. She says she passed legislation that created jobs and bolstered small business loan programs. Williams says that entrepreneurial spirit would serve Montana's economy amid the novel coronavirus.
You know, we need someone that can hit the ground running on these issues and more and deliver results. And I've done that in the legislature, and I'm ready to take that same approach to Congress to help Montanans and their families.
Winter also supports health care reform. He advocates for keeping the Affordable Care Act in place and transitioning to a single-payer system. He says he initially ran for state office because his predecessor supported cutting Medicaid expansion. Winter says he would try to pass legislation for working families forgotten by politicians on both sides of the aisle. He says that would involve changing the tax code to benefit the middle class. While Republicans have long been a fixture in Montana's House seat, in 2018, Williams came within 5 percentage points of beating Gianforte for the job. For this election, she holds a massive fundraising edge over Winter, $1.6 million versus $338,000 in primary and general campaign contributions to date. But Winter says his current position illustrates his advantage in the House race. He won a state House seat in Missoula County that voted Republican during the 2016 general election, whereas Williams' former district reliably votes Democrat.
I'm already proven to have the ability to win people over and move beyond the broken politics of the past on all these issues and actually speak to Montanans with an authentically Montana voice regardless of party.
The Democratic primary winner will face whoever emerges from a crowded Republican field. One issue that separates the Republican candidates is their stance on health care. Montana Secretary of State Corey Stapleton, rancher Joe Dooling, and youth counselor Mark McGinley have said the Affordable Care Act isn't going anywhere and they'd seek changes to it. Former state representative and former Montana Republican Party leader Deborah Lamb, electrician John Ivankovich, and state auditor Matt Rosendale support repeal and replacement of the legislation. Rosendale also advocates for expanding health savings accounts to allow tax-exempt out-of-pocket payments. Rosendale says he has a proven record of success as state auditor, including cutting his office's operating costs by 23%. He says those skills could be put to use at the federal level.
Fiscal sanity has got to be restored back in Washington when we were facing a $26 trillion debt. Someone has to go in there and start looking around and saying, these are the areas where we need to reduce our spending because we cannot. You want to talk about sustainable? That's not sustainable.
Stapleton wants to improve access to high-speed internet. He also says states should hold a larger role in determining how safety net benefits are distributed. Stapleton used the example of coronavirus stimulus checks.
I didn't ask for any money, and I got a check. I didn't deserve it, and I don't really need it. I'll accept it, but you know, the point is we're trillions of dollars in debt. I wonder at a state level if you couldn't have better formulas.
Dooling says both Stapleton and Rosendale want to
jump around and run for everything under the sun.
Stapleton briefly ran for governor this year before joining the House race, while Rosendale made an unsuccessful Senate bid in 2018. Dooling says one of his priorities would be holding onto a House seat that has seen significant turnover lately. Ryan Zinke held the position before Gianforte, but left during his second term to join President Donald Trump's cabinet.
We got to stop turning this House seat over. This is a body of where leadership and seniority in relationships matter. We have a lot of wants, wishes, and needs from the federal government, and you can't do that if you start off as a freshman.
Dooling is a distant third in fundraising behind Stapleton and Rosendale, who's leading with $1.4 million in primary and general campaign contributions to date. Former State Representative Deborah Lamb is fourth in fundraising. She advocates for strengthening domestic food supply chains, particularly in the age of COVID-19.
I have been concerned for years that we were allowing multinational companies
to come in and have such a major role. I have been working with some local ranchers that are probably not going to have places to take cattle this fall.
Remaining Republican candidates Mark McGinley and John Ivankovich haven't reported any campaign donations. McGinley believes in reining in the federal government's power. Ivankovich presents himself as a moderate candidate supporting America's labor force. John Gibney is also running for the House seat under the Green Party, but the party has disavowed his candidacy. Kevin Trevelyan, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The news in recent months has been dominated by coverage of the novel coronavirus pandemic. It's a time like no other. It's also a major election year, and people's views of the pandemic are mixing with politics. This is something Montana State University Associate Political Science Professor Eric Riley brought up when I was talking with him earlier this week.
I don't know if you've seen any of that coverage about cloth face masks and how that's sort of a partisan symbol now. In fact, I was in Belgrade a few days ago and I had somebody heckle me for wearing a cloth face mask. So it's clearly, it's become politicized. Like everything else, I think it's leading to some nastiness in our politics.
Did Riley say how that politicization of the pandemic might play out in Montana?
He said in the United States, we're already seeing this framing of pitting public health versus businesses. He mentioned we could see some of the messaging of the situation put out by President Donald Trump and the White House trickle down to races here.
The White House has shifted toward blaming other entities. They're blaming the World Health Organization. They're blaming China. They're even blaming the CDC. And I think we'll probably, and we are seeing that filter down to other races throughout the country. So it'll be interesting to see how much of that penetrates in the Montana races, but I think a good deal of it will.
What has become a political fight in Montana already is how Governor Steve Bullock should approach state finances given the economic uncertainty right now and what it could mean for the state budget. Republicans in the legislature are calling on Bullock to make budget cuts, but Bullock's administration and Democrats say there's not enough information to make that kind of really important decision right now. Republicans in the legislature have been frustrated for many years that they haven't held the state's executive seat, and it's one of the GOP's top goals in 2020.
Democrats, meanwhile, are hoping to keep their decade and a half hold on the executive seat. Yellowstone Public Radio News' Kevin Trevelyan reports on the seven candidates running for the office.
With incumbent Governor Steve Bullock termed out, two Democrats, three Republicans, a Libertarian, and a Green Party candidate are vying to become Montana's next chief executive. On the Democratic side, current Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney and Missoula businesswoman Whitney Williams both advocate for holding big pharmaceutical companies accountable and bolstering education with a public preschool option. Cooney has tapped House Minority Leader Casey Schreiner of Great Falls as his running mate. Williams picked president of the National Barley Growers Association, Buzz Matlin of Culbertson. Cooney says he's worked hard to foster an inclusive, open state for all Montanans, including those who identify as LGBTQ. He says work remains to protect the dignity and rights of people within those communities. Cooney has held executive office in Montana's legislative and executive branches since the mid-70s. He says his career as a public official would allow him to make an immediate impact in the governor's office.
And that is what really prepares me to become governor and to continue to be able to fight these fights and take on these challenges without missing a beat. You don't have to train me. I've been there and I know what to do and I can do it from day one.
Meanwhile, Williams says Montana is ready for someone with a different background. She founded a business, Williams Works, that helps large companies and nonprofits tackle complicated projects like disaster relief. Williams says running the company has prepared her to rebuild a state economy struck by the novel coronavirus.
I just believe Montana is at a crossroads. And I do think that Montana families sort of expect bold new leadership and someone with executive experience and someone who's tough enough to take on these challenges that are new challenges facing our state, you know, just like coronavirus.
Though both candidates hold similar stances on several issues, Williams has criticized the Bullock administration, including Cooney, for allowing public schools to reopen this academic year. Cooney fired back during a debate, saying local districts should make the decision whether to stay remote. Williams led primary fundraising among the two candidates during the most recent filing period, with $127,000 received. For the Republicans, U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte has an immense cash advantage over his challengers, State Attorney General Tim Fox and State Senator Al Olszewski. Gianforte loaned his campaign $500,000 during the last filing period and raised another $107,000. Gianforte is running with University of Montana law professor Kristen Juris as his number two. Fox named former State Representative John Kanoke of Bozeman. Olszewski tapped State Senator Ken Bogner of Miles City. All three Republican candidates have advocated for reducing what they call government waste and lowering prescription drug costs. All of them also call for fewer regulations on businesses. Gianforte has touted his business experience and connection with President Donald Trump on the campaign trail. He says the next governor's number one priority should be rebuilding the economy. Gianforte says years of low wages have caused Montanans, including three of his four kids, to leave the state for better opportunities elsewhere. Gianforte says the coronavirus pandemic has shown that work doesn't necessarily need to happen in office buildings. He suggested revitalizing rural areas by inviting more Montanans home to work remotely for businesses based in other states.
The sense I'm getting from folks around the state is they know better is possible, and we need business leadership experience in the governor's office to get our economy going and then to build on that foundation to create better paying jobs so that Montanans can prosper and those that want to come back home can.
Fox says the coronavirus hasn't just impacted the economy, but also shed light on longstanding inadequacies within behavioral health systems. He says the ability to offer telehealth and other remote services is, quote, way behind the times, unquote. Fox advocates for bolstering broadband services across rural Montana. He says this primary proves self-funders with immense wealth can, quote, pit Republicans against Republicans, unquote. Fox says Gianforte's decision to leave his House seat after 1.5 terms risks leaving Republicans with a weak general election ticket. Fox says working with officials on both sides of the aisle to solve problems in his role as a 2-term attorney general makes him the most electable Republican to retake the governor's office for the first time since 2005.
There are a tremendous amount of folks relying on leadership to get it right. My two opponents have really all they've engaged in is pandering and rhetoric, and they have no substance.
Olszewski is casting himself as the primary's hardline conservative. The medical doctor says the biggest issue facing Montana is living under state of emergency directives Bullock enacted in response to the coronavirus. Olszewski says Kalispell residents have been gathering for car shows and concerts anyway, which means the guidelines aren't effective.
But I think that counties and municipalities need to have the flexibility to open and to and people and businesses to back off and distance or reduce their services based on the presence of the infection within their communities.
Olszewski also says he's the only candidate who would replace and repeal Montana's Medicaid expansion program, an approach he says he'd also take with the state's water compact with the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. Libertarian Lyman Bishop and Green Party candidate Robert Barb are also in the race to become Montana's governor. Kevin Trevlin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The Montana Secretary of State oversees elections and election laws, maintains records on legislation and business filings, and serves on the State Board of Land Commissioners, among other duties. Yellowstone Public Radio News' Rachel Kramer spoke with the 7 candidates vying to take over for current Secretary of State Corey Stapleton, who's leaving the office to run for U.S. House. Rachel, thanks so much for sharing your reporting.
Hey, Nikki, thanks. I'm happy to.
So, Rachel, this year Montana has 7 candidates on the ballot for Secretary of State. There are 6 Republicans who've tossed their hat into the ring for the June 2nd primary, and then 1 Democrat is also on the ballot. Rachel, who are the Republican candidates, and how are they trying to distinguish themselves?
Many of the Republican candidates want the same things: stronger voter ID laws, like only a government-issued photo ID, and an end to same-day voter registration. Most have voiced a concern about voter fraud, which is something the current Secretary of State, Corey Stapleton, made central during his early time in office. But there's no evidence of coordinated voter fraud in the state.
So if their priorities are similar, how are the Republicans trying to stand out in the primary?
They've been trying to win over voters by pointing to their past experiences. Half of the Republican candidates have worked in the Montana Secretary of State's office already. Candidate Brad Johnson of East Helena says his experience as Montana's former Secretary of State from 2005 to 2009 and his successful race for the Public Service Commission in 2014 make him the best candidate for the Republican ticket.
I not only have the experience, I have the proven electability, and that's what the primary is about, is
picking the most qualified candidate that can be elected, and that's me.
Johnson says he's ready to pick up where he left off after he lost his re-election bid for Secretary of State in 2008 to Democrat Linda McCullough. He says he wants to build on what he says are previous successes, including the development of Montana's first statewide voter registration database that resulted from a federal law passed in 2002.
You said there were other Republican candidates who also have experience in the Secretary of State's office?
Yes. Christy Jacobson is currently the Deputy Secretary of State. She says she could hit the ground running on day one and continue working to update the state's 20-year-old election system. Jacobson was endorsed by the current Secretary of State, Corey Stapleton, who is leaving the position to run in Montana's U.S. House race. Jacobson says she has a record of improving services for businesses and voters while reducing government spending and staff.
Going forward, I would like to make sure that we have maintained the lowest business filing fees in the country and make sure that that continues for our businesses, especially with the current times. And with the voters, just strengthening the integrity of our elections.
Jacobson says she opposes automatic online voter registration, which she calls a gateway to undocumented immigrants voting. Jacobson and candidate Bowen Greenwood of Helena say they want to protect in-person voting. Greenwood says there are three reasons why he's the Republican Party's best candidate to win the general election in the fall.
Number one, I have worked in the office before. I can walk into the Secretary of State's office and start making effective change on day one. And number two, I have a record of running a state agency in a fiscally conservative manner at the clerk's office. And number three, I was just on the statewide ballot in the last election cycle.
Greenwood was the press secretary for the office from 2006 to 2009 and was elected Republican clerk of the Montana Supreme Court in 2018, a position he currently holds. He proposes hiring an election integrity officer whose job would be to listen to Montana's complaints about irregularities in the way election laws are carried out.
What are the other three Republican candidates saying?
Forrest Mandeville of Columbus says it's time for new conservative leadership in the office.
Plain and simple, I'm the only candidate that has both the combination of legislative experience and the professional background to do an effective job in the Secretary of State's office.
Mandeville says he's been on the front lines of election law bills as a representative in the Montana legislature. He also says he stands out from the other candidates because he runs a land use consulting company. Mandeville says he can be a peer to small business owners because he knows what it's like to register a business and file annual reports. He says he could also provide a unique perspective on the land board with his experience in development. Scott Sales of Bozeman also touts his experience in business and the state legislature. Sales is a former Speaker of the House, and his current position as Senate President is termed out. He has said he'll prioritize strengthening communication between the counties and the Secretary of State's office if elected. Sales was in the legislature when the vote on same-day voter registration came up in 2005. He opposed it then. He didn't respond to YPR's request for an interview, but here's what he told one of our reporters last year.
I don't think it's too much to ask of the voters maybe to get to the polls or get to the clerk and quarters office and get registered to vote a couple days before the election.
The sixth Republican in the race, Kurt Johnson of Missoula, did not list his contact information when he filed as a candidate and has no visible campaign online.
Gotcha. So who is on the ballot on the Democratic side?
Bryce Bennett of Missoula is running uncontested, and he's currently a state senator and the executive director of a nonprofit, the Montana Public Interest Research Group. He says one of his top priorities is addressing dark money in elections.
I'll continue to take on people like the Koch brothers and force them out of the shadows because I believe we need a Secretary of State who will be more focused on your voice than the ones of the people who line their campaign coffers.
Bennett says he also wants to work with cybersecurity experts to make Montana's voter registration lists and election results resistant to hackers and supports online voter registration.
How has money played a part in these campaigns?
So campaign finance records show Bennett spent slightly over $1,200 on his campaign as of April 15th. On the Republican side, Christy Jacobson's campaign costs were over $128,000. The second most expensive campaign was Scott Sales at around $92,000, followed by Forrest Mandeville with over $43,000.
Some significant spending on the Republican side compared to Democrats there.
Definitely.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for sharing your reporting.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks for tuning in to our primary election special. We'll be right back after this short break. Listening to a special Montana primary election preview produced by Montana Public Radio and Yellowstone Public Radio. I'm Corin Cades Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. We're continuing our walk down Montana's June 2nd primary ballot, and we're now looking at the race for Attorney General. Montana's current AG, Tim Fox, is term limited. He's seeking the Republican Party's gubernatorial nomination. Two Democrats, two Republicans, and a Green Party candidate are now jockeying for his open seat. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien has this preview of the two contested primary races for the state's next chief legal officer.
Montana's Attorney General primary contests feature four candidates, all with government and legal experience who bring competing visions and priorities for the office. The state attorney general has several responsibilities, including representing state agencies in lawsuits and lending legal assistance to local county attorneys, particularly in complex or homicide cases. Republican John Bennion is outgoing AG Tim Fox's chief deputy attorney general.
I'm not going to need any kind of on-the-job training before I take this office. I'll be ready on day one.
Bennion says he has deep understanding of criminal and constitutional law, as well as consumer protection and natural resource issues. He praises Tim Fox's leadership, but says the AG's office needs to intervene more in natural resource cases, like supporting some logging projects held up by lawsuits by environmental groups.
Where groups have sued to stop responsible forest management, I would like to see us get involved in more of those cases.
Bennion adds he won't hesitate to fight against what he describes as government overreach.
For example, Washington State has tried to close its ports to Montana and Wyoming coal. And so we filed a lawsuit in the U.S. Supreme Court saying that's a violation of the U.S. Commerce Clause. So it can happen with other states. It can happen with the federal government. It can happen at a local level. I'm the only one with experience on constitutional issues. My primary opponent isn't even licensed to practice in the U.S. Supreme Court.
He's referring to Republican Roosevelt County Attorney Austin Knudsen.
John is a very nice guy, but he's never really practiced law. He was 7 years as a lobbyist in Helena. And he's had 8 years now working for the Department of Justice in Helena as a bureaucrat. That's just facts. Experience is the biggest difference between John and I.
Knudsen served as Speaker of the Montana House during the 2015 and 2017 legislatures. He's made drugs and drug-related crimes a centerpiece of his campaign.
I would say a full 90% of my caseload right now in the Roosevelt County Attorney's Office is dealing with meth and the related issues that go with it. I'm very used to dealing with law enforcement, the various drug task forces, and I'm used to prosecuting these people. This is what I do. Bottom line, that's what the state of Montana needs in the Attorney General's office. They need an aggressive, conservative leader, and I'm that person.
Knudsen says the Attorney General's office under Tim Fox's leadership prioritized that agency's budget over those of local law enforcement agencies.
I want to cut some of that budget in Helena, and I want to get that funding out the front lines, to the sheriff's offices, to the local police departments, and to your local prosecutors that are actually dealing with this problem every day. Spending more money in Helena just is not working.
The Democratic primary race for Attorney General pits attorney and Missoula state lawmaker Kimberly Dudick against Rafe Graybill, Governor Steve Bullock's chief legal counsel. Dudick says she's particularly proud of her efforts to help develop a first-of-its-kind pilot project giving greater support to people represented by public defenders.
This is a groundbreaking project trying to help people deal with their underlying issues that cause them to be involved in the criminal justice system. But, you know, on top of that, I've done other things such as worked with our tribal communities on dealing with missing and murdered Indigenous people, stopping human trafficking, and also dealing with child sexual abuse, trying to prevent it, and then trying to hold offenders accountable.
Dudick says she's also concerned about Montana's growing meth-related violent crime rate. She wants to help create comprehensive drug crime and addiction action plans, adding,
I'm the candidate who's proposing having an official office of Native American Affairs to collaborate with our tribal communities and truly deal with these issues that have been ignored for entirely too long.
Both Democratic candidates assert the depth and breadth of their respective resumes gives them the advantage over their opponent. Dudick has worked as an attorney, assistant attorney general, a nurse, and a four-term state legislator.
I've been an attorney now for 18 years, and he's been an attorney for less than five. And I'm the only one who has frontline experience bringing charges and ensuring safety when criminal laws have been violated, ensuring that, you know, citizens are taken care of. And he has none of that experience.
Dudick's primary opponent, Rafe Graybill, doesn't see it that way. Graybill says true legal experience is defined by the kinds of cases an attorney tackles.
I've had two cases in the U.S. Supreme Court in the last 2 years. I've gone up against the United States Department of Justice and the Trump administration and won. You saw us in our fight against the tobacco industry in Montana in a very contentious case. And it's in those kinds of cases and from that background of advocacy that I come to this race.
Like Dudick, Graybill says Montana's attorney general plays a pivotal role in healthcare fairness and pricing.
You hear routinely in other states, state attorneys general going after drug companies who engage in delay schemes to try to keep generics off the market, or drug companies that work together to inflate drug prices. We can do something about that here in Montana. We can put money back in people's pockets, but it requires the political choice to make it a real priority again.
Graybill wants the AG's office to conduct annual drug price reviews to prevent price gouging. He also says the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid expansion are both constitutional and, if elected, would fully support them. Graybill says he's prepared to use the legal system to help improve Montanans' lives.
I think anyone that doesn't see that as sort of the core of the Attorney General's role, anyone that sees this office as just another sort of opportunity to hold office and issue press releases misses the boat and misses the point of this office and what makes it so unique and so special.
Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
And just want to add here that Roy Davis of Helena is running unopposed on the Green Party ticket for Attorney General.
There are six candidates running to be Montana's next state auditor, as incumbent Matt Rosendale leaves after a single term to campaign for the U.S. House. Here's Yellowstone Public Radio's Jess Sheldahl with Nikki.
Jess, thanks so much for sharing your reporting.
Of course.
So it seems like pretty much every statewide elected position has a pretty crowded field of primary candidates this year, with high-profile seats like the governor, U.S. Senate, and U.S. House of Representatives on the line. Why should voters pay attention to the state auditor's race?
Well, the state auditor, also known as the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, regulates the insurance and securities industry and also has a seat on the land board. So decisions made by the office affect every Montanan with insurance, investments, children enrolled in public school, or anyone who uses public lands.
That's a pretty hefty weight there. There are six candidates running for this office. That includes Republicans Troy Downing, Nellie Nickel, and Scott Tuxbury. And then the Democrats are Shane Morajow and Mike Windsor, and then Libertarian Roger Roots. What can you tell me about the Republicans in this race?
Troy Downing's website says he runs a nationwide insurance company, and he's worked in commercial real estate investment securities. Downing says he would continue spending cuts started by current state auditor Matt Rosendale, who reduced the office's budget by $650,000 by eliminating seven vacant positions. Rosendale is leaving the seat to run for the U.S. House. Downing says he would want to bring more insurance companies to Montana.
And what that will do ultimately is, you know, increase choice, increase products, and having competition will drive prices down.
Nellie Nickel has also worked in the insurance industry for over 20 years. She says as state auditor, she would work with insurance companies and healthcare providers to lower insurance rates. She also supports bringing more insurance companies into the state.
Getting rid of regulation that's not necessary is going to bring people in. And I have a plan to go ahead and actually be an active marketer and leave the state and talk to insurance companies about coming in.
Nickel says the greatest issues facing Montanans are affordable health care, choice in insurance, and inefficient government entities. Scott Tuxbury has been in the insurance industry for the longest time of any candidate, with 37 years under his belt. Tuxbury says his background teaching classes about insurance, ethics, and law would enable him to start an outreach program so consumers can recognize fraud.
If we can
stop fraud before it happens, that's a great objective, right? As opposed to waiting until it happens and then throwing those folks in jail or going after them.
Tuxbury says he also supports bringing more insurance companies into the state.
Are there any big differences between these candidates that stood out to you after speaking with them?
For the most part, Republican candidates say they'd continue the majority of what Rosendale has put in place. One area where they diverged was in their view of Montana's state trust lands, which as a land board member, they'd help oversee as a revenue generator for public schools. Tuxbury says he has a focus on public access because of his experience as a backcountry guide. Nichols' website mostly talks about how to use public lands for revenue through timber sales, agricultural, mineral, and grazing leases, and real estate management. Downing has advocated for multi-use on public lands. That means balancing access against other revenue-generating uses like energy development.
Gotcha. So what about on the Democratic ticket?
Shane Morgeau comes to this race with a background in politics after serving in the state legislature, while Mike Windsor is leaning on his experience as a former special assistant attorney general for the state auditor's office. Morgeau has served two terms in the Montana House of Representatives. He's the only candidate in any party who's won an election before.
You know, for me, this is an opportunity to continue my efforts that I've done in the legislature, such as with Medicaid expansion. I think this office can do a lot to help people get access to fair and affordable health care coverage.
Morgeau says he has specific legislation he would like to bring to the state government, including expanded hail insurance and limiting how long a company has to process an insurance claim. Morgeau is a member of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes. Mike Windsor says, as a lawyer, he's been a consumer advocate for more than 20 years. He says the greatest issue facing the state auditor's office is the funding cuts enacted by State Auditor Rosendale. He and Morgeau both say they would seek to restore the funding and direct it toward outreach and investigations.
You know, when Rosendale came in, he drove a lot of those people out, a lot of really experienced people, and under the guise of reducing government.
Windsor says that because the state auditor's office gets its revenue from the industries it regulates through insurance premium tax and other licenses, permits, and fees, Windsor says the cuts did not save taxpayers any money. He says they just decreased the efficacy of the office.
Hmm. What can you tell me about the Libertarian candidate?
Roger Roots is an attorney who says he supports deregulation of the insurance and securities industries. According to campaign finance disclosure reports, he has raised no money for his campaign.
I am what you might call a true blue hardliner libertarian. We are the party of limited government. We are the party of anti-government.
Roots says if elected, he would completely overhaul the state auditor's office, renting out the headquarters, laying off a majority of staff, and conducting all investigations, which would only target the government, by himself in his truck.
Jess, thanks so much for sharing your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to briefly touch on the race for state superintendent who oversees K-12 public school instruction, because there's only a single Democrat, Republican, and Libertarian running for the seat, so the primary is largely decided.
Current state superintendent, Republican Elsie Arnson, is seeking her second term. She's a former legislator who says school safety is a top issue, along with expanding science, technology, engineering, and math programs.
Democrat Melissa Romano ran and lost against Arnson in 2016. Romano is the 2018 Montana Teacher of the Year from Helena. She says she'll fight to protect public schools and prioritize resources and support for students' mental health. Libertarian Kevin Leatherbarrow from Great Falls runs a private education, tutoring, and consulting business. His campaign Facebook page says he wants to give families more choice to decide what's best for their child, and he says it's time to overhaul the education system.
Now for a biggie, the Montana Public Service Commission. The PSC regulates monopolistic utilities in the state. It's made up of commissioners from five regions. Three of those seats are open this year, and the primary fields, especially on the Republican side, are crowded. Currently, all five commissioners are also Republican. Yellowstone Public Radio News' Kayla DeRoche has been covering this race for us.
Primary races are crowded for the Republican-dominated Public Service Commission, which sets customer rates and approves new power, water, and legacy telecommunications projects. Recent items in front of the PSC include a proposal from Northwestern Energy to buy an added stake in the Colstrip coal-fired power plant and the rate case of the same monopoly utility that serves almost 380,000 electric customers in Montana. In southeast Montana, current Commissioner Tony O'Donnell is being primaried in his run for a second term.
What sets me apart is that, like, I have no agenda other than listening carefully to all sides.
While in the past he's cast himself as across the aisle from environmental advocates and proponents of renewable energy, he says he's been receptive to hearing all opinions and considers that a commissioner responsibility. Two Republicans are challenging O'Donnell's incumbency. State Representative Daniel Zolnikoff and former PSC Commissioner Kirk Bushman, both of Billings. Bushman ran and lost against O'Donnell in the 2016 PSC primary. He touts his previous experience as a commissioner on the PSC and 30-year engineering background.
I've worked with some of Montana's largest energy users, as well as Montana's largest energy producers. I have a technical background. I have a very good understanding of a lot of these technologies that are used.
Bushman criticized the PSC for, he says, dragging its feet on Northwestern's intended purchase of Colstrip Unit 4. Zolnikoff is a marketing consultant and chair of the House Energy and Technology Committee.
I have spent literally years working on energy policy, and energy policy is utility and public service commission policy all tied together.
He told YPR as commissioner he'd reform the PSC, which he says is caught up in personality differences and hierarchical issues. Earlier in May, Zolnikoff submitted a complaint against opponent Tony O'Donnell, citing violations of the Montana Code of Ethics and campaign finance law. In the general election, the Republican nominee for the District 2 seat will likely face Democrat Valerie McMurtry of Billings, a retired teacher who is running unopposed in the primary. In southwest Montana, Commissioner Roger Koopman of District 3 is terming out. Running for his seat are Republicans engineer Alan George of Belgrade and lawyer James Brown of Dillon. George is an associate professor of mechanical and industrial engineering at Montana State University and says he could benefit the PSC with his high-level knowledge in engineering and science.
My qualifications to perform technical and business tasks as processed by the Public Service Commission are superior to the other candidates.
Meanwhile, Brown says he's represented a variety of interests before the PSC as a lawyer, so would not bring an agenda to the commission.
My whole professional training is to be a neutral party.
On his website, he writes he values a diverse energy portfolio, free market development, and low rates. State Representative Tom Woods of Bozeman is competing for the seat on the Democratic ticket. Analyst Rob Elwood of Harleton filed as an independent, but it's so far unclear if he has enough signatures to appear on the November ballot. The deadline for him to submit signatures is Tuesday. In western Montana, along the border with Idaho, District 4 Commissioner and Vice Chairman Bob Lake is terming out. Republicans running for that seat include former Montana Republican Party Chairman Will Deshaw of Missoula, State Senator Jennifer Fielder of Thompson Falls, and former State Representative Champ Edmonds of Darby. In addition to being a former legislator, Edmonds is a business owner and has a background in finance and accounting.
This is a job that requires you to, you know, wade out into the weeds of the details, and that's what I've done all my life.
Edmonds says his biggest priority is to keep rates low for the average consumer. Deshaw, who also has a career in business and finance, echoes that value. He says it's vital for the PSC to make sure that a potential energy supplier is stable enough for the long haul to prevent losing unsustainable power in the future. He says he supports all energy sources.
I'm dedicated, I'm even-handed, and I'm professional.
Jennifer Fielder is a small business owner and has served the state Senate for roughly 8 years. She's the CEO of nonprofit American Lands Council, which advocates for local control of federally managed public lands.
I'm going to look at the issue before me with objectivity, apply critical thinking, and make decisions based on the interests of the people in Montana.
On her campaign website, Fielder writes, she seeks to advocate for ratepayers without overregulating companies. Democrats vying for this seat are environmentalists Daniel Carlino of Missoula and attorney Monica Trinnell, also of Missoula. Carlino takes a stance against electricity generation from fossil fuels and advocates for clean energy alternatives.
My elevator pitch is that I'm working to protect the environment and I'm working to protect our public health.
Trinnell is a former PSC staffer.
I will walk into the office on day one, knowing what needs to be done and knowing how to do it.
On her website, Trinnell writes she supports fair pricing for renewable energy, and she'll promote small operations like rooftop solar. Some candidates, like Trinnell, referred to ongoing conflict within the PSC as a reason for needing change at the commission. That conflict includes a leak of one commissioner's work emails and allegations of threats of violence. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Yellowstone Public Radio and reporter Kayla DeRoche specifically have been reporting on the PSC's internal conflict. Recently, the commission asked a court to determine how it should respond to a records request from YPR and other news outlets. Kayla and YPR are named in that complaint.
Last up for Montana's statewide races is a three-way contest for a seat on the nonpartisan Montana Supreme Court. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the candidates are pointing to their legal experience heading into the June 2nd primary.
The race is nonpartisan, and the primary will result in the two candidates with the most votes moving on to the general election in November. All three candidates are promoting their legal backgrounds and experience. Mike Black is from Haver, and this is his second time vying for a seat on the state's highest court. He applied to be appointed to Justin Bryan Norris's seat in 2014 when Norris was appointed to the federal bench. Black has practiced law in Montana for about 30 years, representing and suing mining, railroad, and insurance companies. He also worked in the state attorney general's office for about 4 years, ending in 2015.
A lot of that work was defending Montana's laws with respect to campaign finance and disclosure, and I fought a lot of dark money groups.
More recently, Black has worked on employee benefit cases under his private practice. Black's work and being a fourth-generation Montanan were recently touted in an op-ed article by five retired state Supreme Court justices who endorsed Black. Missoula attorney Mar Scott is also from Montana and has practiced law in the state for nearly 40 years. Most of his legal career has been in the realm of family and civil law. That's something he says would round out the bench, which currently has several former prosecutors and district judges on its roster.
Criminal law is well represented up there, but some of the other areas of law are not necessarily as well represented.
Scott also promotes his 22 years in the Navy. Both Scott and Black are taking swipes at incumbent Lori McKinnon for initially saying she wasn't going to run for a second 8-year term. Both Black and Scott question why she changed her mind. McKinnon says she shied away from running again because of attack ads during her first campaign against her then-opponent Ed Sheehy, which made the race contentious. Those ads were paid for by a political nonprofit, and McKinnon has denounced them. She said the thought of that happening again was daunting.
I changed my mind really when I visited with some friends, other appellate judges across the nation at a conference, and you know, they gave me some very good advice, which was, you know, the worst reason not to run is for fear of losing.
McKinnon is asking her voters to focus on her 6 years of experience as a district judge in the 9th District, which includes Glacier, Toole, Teton, and Ponderay counties. She created a substance abuse court in the district, which she says helped better integrate those with addictions back into society. McKinnon also says the roughly 2,000 cases she has heard while in the state Supreme Court is an important metric displaying her experience. McKinnon says she's written majority opinions in about a fifth of those cases. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
And incumbent Justice Jim Shea from Helena is running unopposed for the 6th seat on the state Supreme Court.
As of Thursday night, a bit over 190,000 absentee ballots had been returned out of the more than 600,000 sent out.
County election officials say for your ballot to be received on time, you should mail it shortly after Memorial Day.
We've got more primary election coverage on our websites. Thanks for sticking with us through this special primary preview.
Happy voting! This special primary preview was produced by Montana Public Radio and Yellowstone Public Radio. Thanks to our listeners for your continued support. Music by Caleb Barnt.